to Night of the Living Geeks. If you geek out over it, we've got a podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Podcastica, a Doctor Who review podcast here on NOTLG.com, episode 304, The Android Invasion. My name is John, and I'm seeing double here. Four Taylors.
John, I'm not sure what to tell you, you.
Taylor, how you doing?
All four of me are recovering from being sick.
Yeah, we had to... We pushed a day, so hopefully Taylor feels a little better, and he should be feeling a little better.
So far so good. I am on the mend. Unfortunately, I had my son home all of last week.
Ah.
With a cold and then an ear infection, and then like late Saturday afternoon, I was like, oh man, I don't feel so hot.
Oh no.
And then Sunday it was like, oh, I'm running a fever.
Ugh, kids, so, yeah. Kids say and do the darndest things.
That they do.
And one of them is making you sick.
Yeah, well, at least I don't have work this week.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Taylor. Well, besides that, how have you been?
I tell you, March has been quite an interesting year so far.
Yes.
It's been a little wild. Just all sorts of stuff going on. I lost my entire... the hard drive in my 11-year-old computer crapped out literally on March 1st.
Ah, yes.
And I went, crap, I have an episode to post.
Yeah.
And it's on the bad drive. And I'll be honest, this will at least tie into what's making me happy. John, you're making me happy.
Oh, thank you.
Because you were kind enough that once I did get access to that drive, I could... grab that episode and the artwork for it and write up a blurb and send it all to you, and you got to post it.
Yeah, I lickety split, as some may say.
Yeah, you did. And honestly, you know, helped greatly in getting, you know, stuff like FileZilla set back up.
Oh, yes. Jeez.
All that kind of stuff. So I'm back up and running. Can't complain. You know, just, yeah, taking care of stuff. So
wonderful.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I guess I'll just tie this into what's making me happy as well. I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain too much. Things that are making me happy. I've been playing Helldivers 2.
I've heard good things about that.
It is absolutely insane, and I feel like I had it since the last time we did a podcast. But anyway, it's a lot of fun. I'm having a good time with that. And in 2 days' time, MLB The Show 24 comes out. So I'm excited for that as well. I'm also happy. This is kind of a happy slash. It's not a sad thing. Anyway, Lauren is going to be gone for an entire month.
Oh my gosh!
This will go up on Wednesday. So starting tomorrow.
Wow! And you're recording with me tonight before she leaves too.
Well, no, she leaves on Thursday. I'm saying. This goes up tomorrow. On Wednesday, she's leaving tomorrow. Yeah, she is producing a feature-length film, and she's going to be in Oregon for the better part of a month. I'm very excited for her, but I am, I'm going to be by myself. Well, not by myself. Yeah. I'll be with my pups. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's going to be it's the longest we have been apart since before I moved down here. So it's,
wow.
Yeah, we've done it before, so frankly, we could do it again, but it's just going to be, it's going to take some adjusting.
Of course.
But yeah, those are the things that are making me happy, and that's what's going on in my life. Do you have anything else that is making you happy this fortnight before we maybe...
I don't know, the fact that I don't have a fever right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know what's not making me happy this fortnight?
What's that?
Daylight saving.
Right.
It has completely thrown Taylor and I don't know if I want to speak for you, but it's thrown me for a loop.
I will say that getting sick in time for daylight savings time, I think has actually made the transition easier, because all I want to do is sleep.
There you go. Oh, that's
And actually... so it's like, oh, it's the clock says it's 9 o'clock. Oh, I'm just going to go to sleep now.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, yeah, let's get into this Who news before we talk about the Android invasion.
Yeah, for sure. So this first thing, let's file it under rumor because this is not confirmed. This comes by way of a reliable quote unquote source. But season 14, they're saying expected to air May 25th through July 13th.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's which, yeah, that works for me. I can handle that. We'll be around. But again, it is not a confirmed fact by the BBC.
Right.
And if you want to read the tweet about it, the link's in the show notes.
Wonderful.
We do have some season 14 casting news and some season 15 production news.
Oh.
Yep. By way of Cult Box, by way of Doctor Who Magazine 601. Genesis Linnea will be in season 14. She worked with RTD on an ITV series called You and Me back in 2023.
Okay.
Speculation based on people combing social media show her with makeup artist Scott Beswick on the 11th of July, so that Lexi place her in the finale block of episodes 7 and 8. In addition, and I may butcher this pronunciation partly because my throat is already drying out.
Oh no.
And partially because the name is Welsh. But Gwion Morris Jones, who worked with Shuti Gatwa in Apple TV Plus's Masters of the Air, will also be in what Davies refers to as one of our most chilling scenes yet.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Taylor, let me take over Who News so you can...
Sure.
So in our next note from the Radio Times, we shouldn't be surprised if Stephen T. Moffat, the T stands for the, returns to write for Doctor Who. There have been rumors circulating that he will return to write the 2024 Christmas special. The Radio Times has the article, and that will also be in the show notes. But they're basically saying it hasn't been confirmed, but it kind of has. Exciting. I love Moff. I loved his run as a showrunner, in my opinion. I know everyone does not hold that same review, but that's fine. That should be very interesting. I'm excited to see what he or how he writes our new Doctor and what story he brings to us during Christmas. And then from Cult Box, we have another note, this time about the 15th Doctor's comic book run. It looks like the new ongoing series by Titan features Shuti Gatwa as the new Doctor, and it will be released this summer, and you can check out, it's a small little article.
Yeah, and not only that, but John, we actually get a little bit of comic Shooty before then, in just in time for your birthday.
Oh, a free comic book day. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I should go to my local comic book store and get that.
Absolutely.
Love it. And this isn't really a news item, but I have watched Ryan Gosling perform I'm Just Ken from the Academy Awards no less than 10 times since it aired. And that performance does feature Shuti Gatwa. So technically, the Doctor was at the Academy Awards on Sunday.
Well, I just my own headcanon and probably the headcanon of some others who were like, nope, this is an episode of Doctor Who, and the Doctor just wanted to be at the Oscars, and so he finagled his way.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that answer.
That performance was an all-timer, in my opinion, and it was also apparently a cheeky tribute to Marilyn Monroe's Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend,
which yes.
I did not know until I read an article and went, oh boy, that makes it even better. Great performance. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out for sure. It's literally on every social media platform.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week we watched The Android Invasion, starring Tom Baker as the Doctor, Elizabeth Slayton as Sarah Jane Smith, Ian Martyr as Harry Sullivan, and Martin Friend as Stigron. It was written by Terry Nation and directed by Barry Letts. It first aired November 22nd through December 13th, 1975, and is the fourth story of season 13. And we have a bunch of story notes brought to us by the fine folks over at TARDIS Wiki. Taylor, do you want to switch notes on and off? Or
yeah, why don't we trade off?
All right.
Yeah, thank you. So we love a good working title around here, and this story had working titles of The Crawls or The Crawl Invasion. And did we use this at one point? The Enemy Within.
Yeah, didn't they use The Enemy Within at one point?
I feel like they did.
That feels like a Doctor Who, The Enemy Within was the alternate title for the five Doctor Who stories. It's fine. You guys can look it up. All right. The story was influenced by the film Invasion of the Body Snatchers and was the last Terry Nation script for Doctor Who for 4 years until his final script of the series, Destiny of the Daleks, in 1979. This was the first non-Dalek story scripted by Nation since 1964's The Keys of Marinus, and it was his only other foray. For some reason, I thought there was going to be a W in there, but there isn't. Foray away from his most famous creation.
Yeah. Well, and I have to admit, we'll get to it, but I think Terry Nation makes a callback to the chase in this story.
Oh.
I'll point it out when we get there. But this story marks the last appearances of John Levine as Sergeant Benton and Ian Martyr as Harry Sullivan in the series. Both actors have told Doctor Who magazine that they didn't enjoy the story. Levine, because Nicholas Courtney wasn't there, and Martyr, because there's no real reason for Harry to be in it. He couldn't see the point.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point for sure. Barry Letts and Nicholas Courtney have both said that the Brigadier was originally meant to be in the story, as Courtney had committed himself to a theater tour, believing his Doctor Who days to be well and truly over. His part had been replaced by Faraday, who was originally a Brigadier before being demoted to Colonel. Courtney's other reasoning for turning the part down was because he'd been asked back for another story and then had his part canceled at the last minute, having passed up other work, quote, and I was very annoyed. Fair.
Yep. But Unit played a significant role in one more story, one we actually haven't reviewed yet, The Seeds of Doom, and thereafter vanished, save for a cameo in The Five Doctors, until 1989's Battlefield.
Okay. I missed. There it is. Okay. Originally, a key plot element was that the Kral androids were, in fact, mirror images of the people they were imitating. Oh my goodness, guys.
They were probably intimidating too.
Yes. And this was how the Doctor deducted that quote unquote Sarah Jane was actually a robot. It was eventually decided that this would be too technically demanding to realize, and the action was subtly amended. The mirror image concept was reinstated for Terrence Dick's novelization of the story. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Terry Nason envisaged the Krals as somewhat insectoid in appearance, although this idea was not used at all, even remotely, in the design. They look like gargoyles.
Like,
they look like rhino-faced people.
Yes, and I thought that was also, because it was like, these look like gargoyles, and then at one point I'm like, some of these people look like rhinos? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, I like the gargoyle approach, though.
Yes. Terry Nation,
that was mine.
That was yours. Tom Baker and Elizabeth Slayton notoriously rewrote and ad-libbed most of their material due to hating the script, including the entire ending scene. Boy, oh boy, I'm seeing a running theme here.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Tom Baker actually submerged himself in the pond rather than have Terry Walsh double for him, despite having a phobia of water. Unfortunately, Baker inadvertently swallowed some of the stagnant water and had to be taken to local hospital to have his stomach pumped.
Oh my God.
And, like me, he was suffering from a sore throat at the time. And this explains why his voice sounds husky in some of the location scenes.
Oh, that's interesting and kind of frightening.
I have not submerged myself in brackish water. Don't worry.
There you go. Barry Letts liked the script, made it look pretty, and was pleased that Terry Nation had come up with something different. He also liked the crawls and wondered why they never made a reappearance. Well, we'll get to that, I guess. Taylor, yeah. You have a world-famous synopsis for us, so take it away.
All right, here we go. The Doctor and Sarah Jane land on Earth where not all is right in the village in which they've landed. Androids are everywhere. It's July 6th over and over again, and all the money is perfectly new. An astronaut named Crayford, not Crawford like I wrote down, is apparently alive, minus an eye, and we'll get to that too, and he's working with this sort of rhino-looking aliens called the Kral. But it turns out this whole village and the story up to this point has been on the Kral homeworld as they practice invading the Earth. Can the Doctor and Sarah Jane prevent the android invasion?
Okay, Taylor, let's get your overall feelings on this episode. I don't know if we're gonna agree here.
I mean, it was good.
Yeah.
It was a functional story. It pretty much kept my attention, kept me entertained. I will admit the twist of them being on the Kral homeworld.
Yes.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
And so I appreciated for that. Anytime a story can kind of keep me guessing and go,
yeah,
I see it now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's definitely not the show's most amazing story ever.
No, no, no.
I'm not even sure that I would necessarily recommend it.
Yeah. So for me, I like the overall idea. And I think usually what I say is the pacing of this was too slow. And I was thinking about this as I was watching all four episodes. And I thought I had come to the conclusion that the pacing of this was too fast. But what I actually, when it was over and done with, I think what should have happened is maybe we get the whole Kral reveal at the end of the first episode. Like, that's how we figure out that they are on the Kral homeworld and that they're trying to invade Earth and kill everyone by having them drink some Flavor-Aid. The correct usage of that.
There you go. Good job,
folks.
Good job.
Thank you. So I think the bones of the story are there. I think it's a decent story overall. I would have just liked to see us on actual Earth longer,
okay,
if that makes sense. Because I feel like the end of this story, as Tom Baker and Sarah Jane said, the end of it is not great. It's just like, and we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay, great. I feel like I wanted the stakes to be, they would have felt higher if most of it had taken place on actual Earth.
Yeah.
So that was my really only overarching issue. There's some other stuff, but now you know what, we'll get to it right now. So Crayford,
yeah,
and I love this. I think this is a great way to tie it back in to how we get back to real Earth and to start the invasion. He gets lost in a wibbly wobbly way. He's saved by the Krals. They put him back together, but they can't replace his eye.
So they say.
Yada yada. They were lying to him the whole time. So here's my question to you, Taylor: he wasn't really missing an eye, had he not checked this entire time? Because I mean, like, if my eye is covered by something and my eye is open, I feel like I could see stuff.
I mean, that is a good point. I don't remember if they mentioned how long Crayford at least thinks he's been with the Kral. But it sounds as though at least when they actually return to Earth, even though Sarah Jane and the Doctor are like, you've been missing for 2 years, they return much closer to his original trip.
Yes. It doesn't say on his TARDIS wiki page, but he's been lost in deep space. That's all it says. And was presumed dead. That's pretty much all it says. We don't get a year date on how long he has been.
Okay,
now, granted, you could say he was brainwashed by them, which is something they make sure to let us know, that he was definitely brainwashed by them. And so maybe that could be an effect of the brainwashing, is they're like, yeah, you're missing an eye, and he's like, oh well, clearly I can't see out of this eye,
right?
That just felt a little strange to me,
but I'd like to think that he bathed at some point,
right? I mean, like, you take the eye,
I don't know about
off,
you, but I would take it off.
You take it off, I don't know, that to me, I was like, okay. And then the other question I have for you, Taylor, is where did the rest of the crawl go?
That is a good question.
Because I feel like at the end, it's just our main guy.
Yeah, there was supposed to be an invasion fleet, wasn't there?
And then, but we also do see other crawls in the rest of the show. So I'm wondering, where did they go? Because that feels like, and again, the end of the story is not good. It's very just like, and everyone's defeated. Like, our main villain literally trips and falls and dies. That's basically what happens.
Yeah. I'm going to say they stopped for some Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles on the way.
Oh.
And got delayed.
There you go.
Because it's so damn good.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me. Well, we're all wrapped up here then. All
right.
But like I said, I mean, I think this story did have like a good, it had a good core.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just a little on the execution, in my opinion. I will say, Sarah Jane just rocking throughout this entire serial.
Oh, definitely.
She is. I mean, I don't really have a list of best companions, but she's up there for sure. And this just further proved it. just great. Also, I love that she was absolutely not driven home. The end of this.
No.
Oh.
No, definitely not. I have to take a moment, and even though I don't even think they get named or anything, but we've got like our invasion of the beekeepers who have finger guns and look like they belong in a Daft Punk music video.
Yes, I was thinking the same exact thing. Also, I'm looking at a photo from TARDIS Wikia or TARDIS Wiki, and one of them appears to be missing a middle finger.
Oh.
Yeah. Or is that their gun? Who knows?
Very possibly.
Possibly, yes.
Yes.
We had our finger gun, which I don't think... I think they just are androids. They're just nameless androids. We don't really get a name for their little crew.
No, we don't. But when they first go into, and by they, I mean the Doctor and Sarah Jane, go into what they think is the village, and they go into this pub, and it's empty.
Yes.
One of, and I don't remember who at this point, says it's like the Marie Celeste on here.
Yeah, I think that's, that is a callback. And I believe, oh man, how would I find that out? Who said that? I think it's Sarah Jane.
I mean, it's easy. Give me 2 seconds here. And
I might be ahead of you. It's the Doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
The Fleur de Lis, more like Marie Celeste, more like it. Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
That's great. Hey, yeah, a little callback. That's fun.
That's what I like to think.
I mean, I'm down with it. It makes sense. I mean, he did write the other one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love the look of the village. It kind of reminded me of the village from the Dream Lord episode.
Oh, it does kind of, doesn't it?
Just a tad.
Yeah, I can see that.
But yeah, I really loved. I love when Classic Who goes on location. That's just just like the best. And yeah, I love this little town. I just, you know what the other thing was? And while you're piecing together this story, like, we see, like, Benton, and he is clearly not Benton. And you're like, oh, no, where did everyone else go? So, there is, where did they, what did they do with these people's bodies? Because they're clearly androids.
Yeah, totally.
Are we just completely SOL here? All of our friends, have they all passed on and been replaced by? Which made the reveal, I think, even better. that we this whole time we're not on Earth. We're just we're in like a simulation. We're in the X Mansion, and we're doing a training simulation, and everything.
Well, yeah, away. I mean, and this idea is taken from like, you know, actual Cold War, excuse me, scenarios where like the Soviets would build like replicas of American towns to train in.
Yeah.
So this parallels that same idea. And yeah, they do a really good job setting up this kind of mystery. And even when, you know, the TARDIS gets her key back and being like, all right, peace out, I'll meet you guys back on Earth, without saying as much.
Yes. So that was another,
like, oh crap.
Yeah. Because I thought she left the key in there and then she went somewhere for a second. And I went, oh no, someone was like, well, I'm just going to go in here. And that, you know, that also kind of lends itself to the mystery of what exactly is going on here. But the TARDIS was like, I'm going back to Earth. This is not Earth. Sorry, I can't tell you that because, you know, reasons. Bye. But yeah, I'm trying to think of what else on the planet. Oh, the July 6th calendar was very funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where that gif comes from.
I did love the bit of our bartender being ever so close to the doctor at every turn. I believe it was Harry, wasn't it? He was the kid.
Was the character's name, or was that it was Harry Sullivan?
Was it Harry Sullivan or no?
Different actor.
I don't know what his name was, but I did love that bit of him always being right behind the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. You know what? Another thing that I thought was very fishy is towards the end of episode one, where the doctor literally just jumps off a roof and is fine.
Yeah, he does some crazy stuff in this story. He flips a table, goes diving out a window.
Yes, he does a plancha suicida, which we'll get to. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing I noticed. This is not Tom Baker's, this is a different jacket, right?
Yes, this is not his regular coat that he's had up to this point. And it's obviously not the burgundy one from later. This is a short-lived tweed.
I like it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I think it looks pretty cool. We need to talk about, I think, what possibly might be the most disturbing thing I can remember seeing in Doctor Who. So towards the end of episode two, Sarah Jane has been replaced by an android, and the way that the doctor finds out is our android Sarah Jane's like, I escaped, oh my goodness, and the doctor says, here, drink this, and gives her this drink that she has already said is disgusting and would never drink it under any circumstances, and just drinks it immediately, and he goes, I have an android on my hand.
Exactly.
And he says he knows, and there's this really great moment where he has her scarf in his hand,
right.
And then he takes off his hat as misdirection and slaps the gun out of her face, or out of her hand, and then pushes her over to reveal her robot face. And then
aren't those goofy faces? I love it.
We get quite possibly the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. It is a Sarah Jane, like hair and costume, holding a gun with this creepy android face with eyes just shooting at the doctor. I have a picture of it in our notes. It is utterly disturbing.
John, you are absolutely going to love what image I chose as the cover art for this episode.
Yeah, it has to be this.
It is
off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
So good job if that was what they were going for. And I do like that in the middle of episode three is where we get, it's not a cliffhanger. It's literally in the middle of the thing where we find out that there's like a slow motion bomb.
Yes.
And the whole town disintegrates. And then it's like, oh, JK, this isn't Earth. This is just a copy. We've been trying to figure some stuff out. I love that.
When they start the episode with, we're going to blow everything up in 9 minutes. I'm like, wait, you have two episodes left.
Yeah, they're just going to hang out for the rest.
How is this going to play out?
Yeah. And
I do. I do appreciate their proto Borg catchphrase of resistance is inadvisable.
Oh, that dude, that was too funny. Oh boy, the man. Did you think they were Suntaran before they were revealed?
At first, kind of, yeah.
I'm like, this is Suntaran, and then I'm like, what is this weird? And you know what? You feel like this would be a big reveal, but it wasn't. Like, it's just like, oh, here they are, like full faced. Here they are. Here are these creatures that we've never seen before,
hiding behind an intercom,
hiding behind the dartboard. Yes.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought the design of them was fine.
It was a little floppy mask faced, you know, that mouth did not move very well.
No. And I mean, like, I guess, you know, it's fun to try new things, but I feel like the Suntarans would have been just fine.
Yeah. That's, I mean, just me. Clones, androids. I mean, you could make it work.
Yeah, makes sense.
I will say, like, when they capture the doctor and they've got him in whatever sort of device they use to basically download his brain, and they're like, "Doctor, we're going to download your brain." The doctor goes, "That's stealing."
Yeah.
Right. And then I think of that old advertising. You wouldn't download the doctor's brain.
Oh my god.
Right?
Yes. Yes. I did also appreciate when Sarah Jane tries to release him that she turns one of the knobs the wrong way. I thought that was a nice, like, little cuz I was like, she's not going to know which way to turn the she doesn't. Yeah, so I appreciated that. We all end up going back to Earth, and we got to talk about this doctor on doctor violence.
Oh yeah,
because
pretty wild.
The last episode, I think the reason why I was like, man, I wish we were on actual Earth with actual repercussion longer, because I thought the last episode up until a point was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we already know the plan. We're trying to land the rocket that holds the nesting rock that holds all of the liquid that will murder all humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now we're starting to actually switch out real people with the androids.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I thought this was great. I loved the robot detector, which was very funny to me.
Yeah.
Especially because you think he clicks it on and you're like, oh, he's in the room with two of them. But it's technically also the robo doctor,
mm-hmm.
or the android doctor. And it's just, it's great. I love that how he just leaps through that window.
Oh, it's amazing.
And he's just running. Doctor fight was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Android Doctor does a plancha suicida from the control center down to the, like, off a ledge, basically.
Now describe to me and those at home who, you know, aren't as well versed in wrestling.
A plancha suicida is a suicide dive, as they call it. It's basically, okay. You either are leaping, you're running towards the ropes and slingshotting through the top and middle rope onto the outside, onto your opponent. Okay. Yes.
Gotcha. I can visualize that.
Yes. Thank you. And this doctor, the android doctor, he does that, but man, I really hope that they were crash padded out down there, because he looked like he fell right on his head.
Oh,
in that shot. But yeah, the doctor fight was fun. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I did appreciate that all of the androids are just frozen in time.
Yeah, basically they tweak the radar system to, I don't know, confuse their internals or something.
Yes. And I do agree, the ending of this is just so, it just feels like, and then they win and that's it.
Yep.
Like, our main villain, he kills our guy who just found out he had 20/20 vision.
Yep. I still think Crayford having his eye, that's probably the biggest twist of the whole story.
Yes. They didn't do anything to you. Yeah. I did like that. Like they're just like, yeah, we totally fixed you, man, except for your eye. And he's like, oh, man, thanks. Even though none of that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Crayford dead. The doctor also throws a double axe handle on our main crawl guy who then trips over and falls face first into this virus that is supposed to murder all of humanity, but just turns the side of his face into like a green goopy mess.
Yes, which then also makes me wonder if it's a virus, isn't it supposed to be airborne?
Who knows?
Oh, no, it's supposed to be waterborne, I thought. Right? They mixed it in with the water.
Yes. You didn't drink the water? That's what one of them says to her, to Sarah Jane. Yep. She's like, huh?
She's like, no, I was busy electrocuting people.
Yes. Oh, man, that was great, too. But I did like the twist that the doctor had reprogrammed his android to help him. And then he, unfortunately, that newly fighting for good Dr. Android was murdered immediately.
Yeah, well.
It's fine. There couldn't be two doctors, right? Wait a second.
Wait, huh?
But yeah, I mean, overall, this was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It's a good way of putting it. It was fine.
There were some good parts. I think if the story was reworked to be in the real world, to be on our Earth a little longer and make the stakes feel a little bigger, I think it would have been much better. But overall, it was fine. Taylor, do you have anything else to add?
I totally agree with that. I will add that the effect of the quote unquote meteorites landing was really not good.
Oh boy, no!
All four of them. Like,
no,
in different spots in the sky, all banking exactly. This
no.
Do four separate effects. Don't take one picture and try to make that work, guys. No.
Yikes! Yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start hitting some buttons.
Sounds good to me.
I've got all the machinery I need. Stand back.
It's time for the Dungeon Scare.
This one's going to be interesting, I think, because we have. I think we don't have anything of note in the first episode. Oh, no, wait, we do. We have the android who just seemingly jumps into the quarry.
Oh, yes.
I forgot about that part where it's just like, don't do it, man. And Sarah Jane just screams. And this guy's like, I'm just jumping in. I don't really know if that counts as the Duggan scale. I will say the misdirection with the hat and the scarf.
Yep.
And then knocking Android Sarah over, I thought was great. And then let's see, we don't have a lot. I'm just going down here. The doctor fight, I think, is the only other thing that we
doctor
have.
Fight, definitely. The doctor punching Stigrin so hard he flipped over onto the virus.
Yes. That's also, you know what, though? That also might be the most Duggan thing, because that's kind of how Duggan saves the day, the punch that saved history.
Exactly.
That's kind of like the same thing.
And Sarah Jane electrocuting that dude.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to go 7.25.
Yeah, I was right at a solid 7.
There we go. Perfect.
Totally.
All right.
Yeah, it has some good action, this story does.
Yes.
Gathering close, it's time for the Behind the Close Scare.
I mean, I know this is, you know, you usually got the whole thing on this. I gotta say, once again, the Sarah Jane android with android face with eyes shooting is one of the most disturbing things I've seen in Doctor Who. Anyway, take it away.
Fair enough. We will take that under advisement. Overall, though, the story just really isn't all that scary.
No.
Our monsters are rubbery. Our androids are kind of goofy. You know, there's some action. Yes, android Sarah Jane Smith is kind of creepy.
Yes.
But that's about it.
There you go. All right. Well, next time, we are going to be watching The Underwater Menace, the animated version.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited about this. I have been told not even the animation can save this by a close and reliable source.
Oh, boy.
I'll be the judge of that. Starring Patrick Troughton as the Doctor, Anneke Wills as Polly, Michael Kreis as Ben Jackson, and Fraser Hines as Jamie McCrinnan. Ooh, yeah, I'm excited for that. If you guys have Amazon, you can get it on Amazon Prime Video for $10, or you can rent it. So if you want to follow along, that's what you'll do. All right. So you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at The Podcastica. You can follow me on Twitter at JP Thrice, and you can follow Taylor on Twitter
at BusBuddha71.
Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify. Just search Podcastica. Please rate and review us as well. You can also head on over to soundcloud.com/TheNOTLG for all of the back category of Podcastica and every other NOTLG show. You can also just head on over to NOTLG.com. Taylor, I'm thinking we might be getting to that time where we need to make some playlists on SoundCloud in order of episode.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I think I might look into doing that.
Okay. I think I like
it. Soon. I think that would be a lot of fun to just have. Mm-hmm. NOTLG.myspreadshop.com. Head on over there for all of your NOTLG merchandise. Or if you just want to donate monetarily, patreon.com/NOTLG. Anything helps to keep this train moving through time and space.
Yeah.
And support your local shops. I said earlier, yeah, go to your local comic shop. Buy a comic book. Why not? They need the help.
Totally.
They need the support and the help and all that good stuff. All right. Join us again in 2 weeks' time when we will be talking The Underwater Menace. And we'll see you guys then.
See ya.
Yeah,
when they start the episode with "we're gonna blow everything up in 9 minutes," I'm like, "Wait, you have two episodes left?"
Yeah, they're just gonna hang out for the rest.
How is this gonna play out?
Yeah.